So we're going to have our Bible reading, Maggie, and we're going to have two Bible readings, and Maggie will read them both. Thanks.
This first reading is from Nehemiah, chapter 8, starting at verse 8. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites, who were instructing the people, said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. And then the second reading is from Luke, the parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
When our youngest set of twins, Sam and Ben, had their 18th birthday party, we had a barn dance. It was in when I was a vicar down in Poole, and the church was 800 years old, so it had really super thick walls, and it was amazing fun. You perhaps can't see it, but these walls were so thick that none of the neighbours could hear a thing. We had a caller and a Kayleigh band called Black Sheep. They were really noisy, and no one cared. It was just such a fun thing. And this is a photo which you won't be able to make sense of, but it was a bit dark. I remember looking out at 120 young people, all teenagers, most of whom had never been in any church ever before. And they were having a great time. And I felt, it felt like an echo of God's laughter. In the heart of God was laughter. That their first experience of coming into a church was to a party with joy and singing and dancing. And many of these young people left having had a great time. They shook my hand, said, "Thank you so much." Said, "This is an awesome place." I said, "Yes, it is. It is." And then 9:30 the next morning, we also gathered round the Lord's table, exactly the same place, and we also had a celebration. A different celebration, but still celebrating God's goodness. I want to ask you, what do you think puts a smile on the face of God? Or does your God rarely smile? We're tempted, I think, to believe the place of greatest joy in the universe is some real estate in Orlando. But just think, God who made a billion galaxies, Every day, he alone gets to see the sunset on 1,000 billion planets. What beauty he must enjoy. The throne room of God is the place of the greatest inexpressible joy in the whole cosmos. And we can easily get overwhelmed by thinking it must be very hard to be God. It says in Scripture, whoever increases much in wisdom increases much in sorrow. And there's a truth there as well when we see folly and hurt and pain. But perhaps we major on how sad God is and rarely remember how glad God is. Even Jesus went to the cross, as it says in Hebrews, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For joy. For joy. God is the source of light and love and joy, and we are invited to enjoy him forever. And yet there's a weird and I think pernicious notion that God is always solemn. I mean, so he looks really just uncomfortable in so many stained glass windows. Maybe it's easier to draw him that way, I don't know. But it all looks often rather joyless. And that's a lie. All joy comes from God. And the God of the Bible is constantly rejoicing and indeed inviting his people in, calling them to celebrate with him. In Exodus 23:14, this is a command. It's not an option. It's a command from God. 3 times a year, you shall celebrate a feast to me. So once a term, you might say. The 3 festivals were unleavened bread, which culminates with Passover, and then what they call the first fruits, which is actually a planting at the beginning of the crop season, and then at the end of the year, the harvest home. So very tied into what was going on in the land. But they'd have a party. They would celebrate. And it was God who threw these inclusive parties, inviting those who don't have enough food to party with those who do. I don't know if you noticed that in Nehemiah 8. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's so much grieving, understandably, in our culture right now. But there's also a call to rejoice, to celebrate, to party. Go and enjoy choice food. I don't often use that phrase, choice food. Choice food. Okay, turn to your neighbor if you can bear it. If you're deeply introvert and offended by me saying this, just fold your arms and look sad. But tell your neighbor, what's your favorite food? This isn't everyday stuff. Your favorite choice food. What would you have? Do you know, some of you have suddenly become animated. This is the happiest you've been for a little while. Just the thought of happy food. Go to your happy place and have your choice food. Doesn't say what it is. Anyone shout out what's your favorite? Duck in orange sauce. Curry. Which type of curry? Oh, I said just generic. Fish curry. Ooh. Black Forest Gatto. How many of you said a sweet course? Okay. How many of you said a meat course? How many of you said a veggie course? There's no shame in the room. Well, there is a little bit, obviously, but no, that's good. And then it says, so choice food, that's what. So God's saying, have that. I want you to be so happy. Have that. And then sweet drinks. Sweet drinks. Now, it doesn't say a Jaeger bomb. I mean, what does it mean, a sweet drink? Sorry, I've lost some people there. Mojito. What's your, tell your neighbour, what's your favourite, what's your sweet drink? This is your special drink. Chateauneuf de Pape, 56. What is your sweet drink? Go on. Okay. There's quite a few people dribbling now, so I'm just going to ask you to stop talking about food and drink briefly. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink. This is a command from God. And send some to those who have nothing. It's an inclusive party of generosity, sharing the best you have. This day is holy. That's what holiness can look like. It's not the only form of holiness, but that sort of party is holiness in Scripture, holy to the Lord, because you're setting it aside. I'm celebrating God and his kindness in the seasons or whatever that party was for. Do not grieve. Choose not to be in mourning. Choose it, even though that's a difficult thing maybe. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. I wonder if you've discovered that. You can choose joy. And sometimes it's through gritted teeth. But I'm choosing to rejoice in God, my Savior. And that makes us strong. I love some modern choruses. They're fantastic. There are some, though, and I'm not referring to any we've done today, but I know some choruses are all about me and my little life and my feelings. And I usually end up a bit depressed. Whereas a song that's proclaiming the goodness of God, great is thy faithfulness, or great is your faithfulness, whatever version, but we're talking about God and what he's like, is way more fun than thinking about me. He's the object of our worship, our thanks, and our adoration. Isn't she lovely? It's our dear queen on the screen, by the way. I heard a few grumpy people over the Jubilee, over the cost or blah, blah, blah. I thought it was brilliant. I had such a party. We had a great time with our neighbours. I hope you enjoyed the Queen's Jubilee. I think we needed it. Our culture and our country, we need times to celebrate, and God knows we're wired to need to do that. I hope you found it a blessing. How many of you watched something from Glastonbury? Okay, fantastic. So, I remember growing up in a church where this would have been deeply frowned upon because people take substances and they have sweet drinks. And choice food, it's got to be wrong. It's mad. I mean, there's excess, and that's a bad thing, where we lose control or damage ourselves. But the joy of the Lord, celebrating, enjoying God's good creation in music or whatever form, dance, fantastic. For such a long time, the church in the West, we've been known for what we're against, instead of what we're for. And as Jesus put it, the thief comes to rob, to steal, to destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it to the full or in abundance. So I really want to be part of that sort of church. I'm not against being, you know, teetotal. It can be a noble thing. There are members of our church who are. And so I don't want to belittle that. My mum was teetotal. She grew up south of Glasgow, saw a huge amount of alcoholism. And so she made a vow to God, which she kept till the day of her death when she was 92. She never drank alcohol. And for her, that was the right thing to do. I feel I've made up for her in compensating behavior, perhaps. But I do remember an uncle who was a good, godly man. And he tried to convince me that Jesus turned water into Ribena. And I don't think it's in the text at all. It was wine, and it was a ridiculous amount of wine. There was an excess of the best. I've seen alcohol so abused by individuals and families, I'd almost wish it hadn't been invented. It can be so terrible. But it is a gift. God creates everything that we can ever enjoy. It's God who is the source of our joy. So I don't want to be in a church that's like the older brother in the story of the prodigal son, never enjoying, never actually going into the party that's thrown by the loving, forgiving, prodigal, generous father. So celebrations are actually God's idea. We're not inventing something. This is his loving purpose. And what are the things that God thinks are worth celebrating? Well, especially we see in Scripture when things that are lost become found. Just wondering what's... Let's answer this. When have you been most desperate to find something that was lost? Perhaps just have a turn to your neighbor. What's the worst you've ever felt, and then the most thrilled or relieved when you found it? Okay, so let me ask, how many of you said credit card? Oh, I'm by myself there. Anyone lost a wallet or a purse and been worried? Anyone lost car keys? Been worried? Any temporarily mislaid your children? Yes. I've lost all of these things, temporarily, usually. I got all the kids back. But I don't know if you can recall that feeling of feeling sick with worry. It's a horrible feeling. And then the relief, especially if it's you found your children and you want to hug them and slap them simultaneously because you're so relieved and so cross with them for wandering off, even though it's my fault. You want to blame them when they're still young. Sorry, that's not from God. That was a joke. Please don't believe me on that one. Jesus tells this parable. So it's Luke 15, 16, 17. There's a whole series of parables. When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin." I mean, I get excited when I put my hand in my jacket and find, I've got a tenner in my pocket. I didn't even know that. You know, woohoo! Sorry, I should get out more, but... finding something unexpectedly, but when it was something you really needed and find it, it's fantastic. And then it says in verse 10, in the same way, just as you can imagine that losing and finding, in the same way, I tell you, says Jesus, there is rejoicing. This expresses very accurately, in the same way, Jesus says, that's how God feels. He rejoices when people who are lost get found. And I used to misread that. I used to think, oh yeah, the angels are having a party. They're singing and going for it. It doesn't say that. It says, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. It's God who's doing the rejoicing. And they're saying, God is so happy today. They're witnessing, and then they share his joy. And that's what we're invited to do the same, to come into the joy. Come and share the joy of your Lord, said Jesus somewhere else, over one sinner who repents. Sinner and repentance, it doesn't sound terribly happy. But it is. When someone who's lost is found, it's great. Repentance literally means turning around. You're going in the wrong direction, and then suddenly you've turned around and going in the right direction. Do any of you have those really annoying sat-navs? recalibrating. It's telling you off. I don't mean your spouse. I'm meaning the woman on the sat nav. The other can also happen. But God is rejoicing when suddenly we're going in the right way, His way. So repentance is actually a thing of joy, because we're restored, we're in relationship, and we're going in the right direction, and God throws a party. It's not about staying in a place of sin. God doesn't want us to stay full of shame or misery. That's not His kingdom. It's about celebrating forgiveness and the new start. This is a photo I took about 30 seconds after Mary walked out of the cathedral with Bishop Stephen. Stephen's the one on the right with the pointy hat. It was great. It was a celebration. It was giving thanks for what we see God doing in another human being's life and bringing her up and helping her to share her life. It was a beautiful service. There were 9 people being ordained priests. It was really joyful. If you haven't heard it, you can click on the website and hear them on YouTube, each giving a sort of testimony. And it's just brilliant. Different lives, different people, all used and being redirected by God. But next Saturday evening, we've got the barn dance, 5 till 9. Hope you'll get your ticket. And if you can't afford a ticket, just come. Just come. If you'd like to sign up and bring some food, you'll make those of us who are big eaters very happy. So Jane's kindly put some leaflets at the back. Do sign what you'd like to bring. Some choice food. Some sweet drinks. Actually, that sounds like Corona or Fanta or something. Whatever will be a blessing to you and to others. But that's also part of the celebration. If you want to do a meditation on God's goodness and just being grateful to God, Psalm 104 is a wonderful psalm. Human beings hardly feature in it. It's really celebrating all that God has made. It's wonderful. But there's a little bit where we get a sort of look in. We say thank you to God because He gives us wine that gladdens human hearts. An appropriate amount, just to make you glad. But it's wine. It's wine to gladden human hearts. What is the wine? What gladdens your heart? It might be being with a certain person or doing some activity. On the camp last week, I'd never done that walk down to Coombe Bissett from the ridge, and it gladdened my heart. It was just lovely. And then we had an ice cream. It gladdened my heart. Are you doing the things that gladden your heart enough? Because God wants you to enjoy the gift of life He gave you. He doesn't want you serious all the time. Some of us need to rein in not being serious. But, wine, we thank God for that. Oil to make their faces shine. We don't sort of go for that so much. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overfloweth. I mean, I don't know if you've ever anointed someone with oil. It's quite messy. In the ordination yesterday, Mary and all the priests were anointed. It's so messy. It gets everywhere. But actually, oil that makes their faces shine. What puts a smile on your face? Some of you smiling just to see a child come in. What are the things that make you feel, life's pretty good? I know there's lots of nonsense, but what are the things that gladden your heart, make your face shine, and bread that sustains? Because this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. We need stuff that will be bread, that will sustain us for the long journey. Are you taking those things in? So just coming in here. What are you celebrating? I hope you are finding things, not because life is easy, but because it's hard, choosing to celebrate. What are you celebrating? Maybe you could find some joy in repentance. If I'm not really living for Jesus at all. I'm not living very close to him. But they could be rejoicing. You could have a party today saying, Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a fresh start. That would cause another little party to start up in heaven and on earth when you know you're going in a good direction. Can you celebrate the success of someone else? So rather than envy, we actually see God's using them in a great way, or they've found the sweet spot in their life and celebrating with someone else. And how find joy in the Lord and regain strength? How do you go back to the well every day, every week? God doesn't want you to be in a desert. He wants you to be celebrating. So we're just going to turn that into a bit of a prayer. Father, thank you that you give us wine to gladden our hearts. Thank you that there are things that make us rejoice, that make us feel happy. And forgive us, please, where we've been so stupid or short-sighted to think you're somehow a God of misery rather than of joy. Lord, help us to find joy and to be thankful. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord for all his love. Lord, help us to be a grateful people. Help us to be those who learn how to put a smile on other people's faces too. We know it's not all about us. You call us to be resourced and joyful and to bless those around us. So I invite you right now just to keep a moment of silence or quietness in your heart and think of people who are really struggling with life at the moment. Maybe it's to do with health or mental health or just circumstances that are really difficult right now. Pray God's blessing on them. Imagine a smile on their face and pray for blessing in Jesus' name over them. I invite you to call out the names, just the first name of someone you want God to heal. Thank you, Lord. You love these people made in your image more than we do. Holy Spirit of God, would you come and heal and bless? Make their faces shine. Give them bread to sustain them for the journey. And may we be part of the answer to our own prayers. And we pray, Lord, for this world that is so full of pain and sorrow and stupidity. We pray especially for peacemakers, because they are the children of God, people who make a costly peace. Lord, would you strengthen those working for peace? We pray for the peoples of Ukraine and Russia, peoples in Sudan and South Sudan. Perhaps pray now in your heart, just silently, for an aid agency that you think are doing a good job, but probably need God's help. Just pray for them now. And let's pray for our families and our friends. Paul says, let's see if we can outdo one another in showing good. How can we bless those we share our lives with? Lord, make us people of imagination and courage so that we're the first to go across a room and greet someone and love them, express sympathy or hope. Lord, we pray for the people with whom we share our lives most closely, that we will be a blessing. And if you know the words of the grace, I invite you to join in it as we pray it together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.